Beautiful anthem. Thank you, choir. Let's grab a Bible and turn to the book of Leviticus, Leviticus chapter 8. We continue our sermon series through the book of Leviticus. Lest you get stressed, no, I'm not preaching on every single chapter or verse of Leviticus, but just hang in with me. The title of the sermon series is Savior in the Shadows. If you do not have a Bible, there should be a red Carilion Pew Bible somewhere in front of you, and you can turn to page 86. Hear God's word, Leviticus chapter 8. We will read it in its entirety, and then you'll have to keep up in the sermon as I yell out verse numbers. Okay, Leviticus chapter 8, this is about the dedication of Aaron and his sons as priests at the tabernacle, the tent of meeting. Hear God's word. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Take Aaron and his sons with him, and the garments, and the anointing oil, and the bowl of the sin offering, and the two rams, and the basket of unleavened bread, and assemble all the congregation at the entrance of the tent of meeting." And Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and the congregation was assembled at the entrance of the tent of meeting. Verse 5. And Moses said to the congregation, "This is the thing that the Lord has commanded to be done." And Moses brought Aaron and his sons and washed them with water. And he put the coat on him and tied the sash around his waist and clothed him with the robe and put the ephod on him and tied the skillfully woven band of the ephod around him, binding it to him with the band. And he placed the breast piece on him, and in the breast piece he put the Urim and the Thummim. And he set the turban on his head, and on the turban in front he set the golden plate, the holy crown, as the Lord commanded Moses. Verse 10. Then Moses took the anointing oil and anointed the tabernacle and all that was in it, and consecrated them. And he sprinkled some of it on the altar 7 times and anointed the altar and all its utensils and the basin and its stand to consecrate them. And he poured some of the anointing oil on Aaron's head and anointed him to consecrate him. And Moses brought Aaron's sons and clothed them with coats and tied sashes around their waists and bound caps on them as the Lord commanded Moses. And then he brought the bowl of the sin offering, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the bowl of the sin offering. And he killed it. And Moses took the blood and with his finger put it on the horns of the altar around it and purified the altar and poured out the blood at the base of the altar and consecrated it to make atonement for it. And he took all the fat was on the entrails and the long lobe of the liver and the 2 kidneys with their fat, and Moses burned them on the altar. But the bull and its skin and its flesh and its dung he burned up with fire outside the camp as the Lord commanded Moses. And then he presented the ram of the burnt offering, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the ram, and he killed it. And Moses threw the blood against the sides of the altar. He cut the ram into pieces, and Moses burned the head and the pieces and the fat. He washed the entrails and the legs with water, and Moses burned the whole ram on the altar. It was a burnt offering with a pleasing aroma, a food offering for the Lord, as the Lord commanded Moses. Verse 22, then he presented the other ram, the ram of ordination, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the ram, and he killed it. And Moses took some of its blood and put it on the lobe of Aaron's right ear and on the thumb of his right hand and on the big toe of his right foot. And then he presented Aaron's sons, and Moses put some of the blood on the lobes of their right ears and on the thumbs of their right hands and on the big toes of their right feet. And Moses threw the blood against the sides of the altar. Then he took the fat and the fat tail and all the fat that was on the entrails and the long lobe of the liver and the 2 kidneys with their fat and the right thigh. And out of the basket of unleavened bread that was before the Lord, he took 1 unleavened loaf and 1 loaf of bread with oil and 1 wafer and placed them on the pieces of fat and on the right thigh. And he put all these in the hands of Aaron and the hands of his sons and waved them as a wave offering before the Lord. And then Moses took them from their hands and burned them on the altar with the burnt offering. This was an ordination offering with a pleasing aroma, a food offering to the Lord.
And Moses took the breast and waved it for a wave offering before the Lord. It was as Moses' portion of the ram of ordination as the Lord commanded Moses. Then Moses took some of the anointing oil of the blood that was on the altar and sprinkled it on Aaron and his garments, also and on his sons' garments. So he consecrated Aaron and his garments and his sons' garments with him. Verse 31. And Moses said to Aaron and his sons, boil the flesh at the entrance of the tent of meeting, and there eat it, and the bread that is in the basket of ordination offerings, as I commanded, saying, Aaron and his sons shall eat it. And what remains of the flesh and the bread you shall burn up with fire, and you shall not go outside the entrance of the tent of meeting for 7 days, until the days of your ordination are completed, for it will take 7 days to ordain you. As has been done today, the Lord commanded to be done to make atonement for you. At the entrance of the tent of meeting you shall remain day and night for 7 days, performing what the Lord has charged, so that you do not die, for so I have been commanded. And Aaron and his sons did all the things that the Lord commanded by Moses. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, your word is long and complex at times. And Lord, it can seem mundane, repetitive, and boring. So we ask that your Holy Spirit would come this morning, that you would help me to faithfully present your word, help me to faithfully point us to Jesus, and help me to faithfully apply this passage to our lives today. And we pray that your Holy Spirit would illuminate our minds, that we might see and understand, believe, and receive Jesus. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One time I was called to court to be a character witness when I lived in the state of Georgia. I was serving as a minister at that time of an ARP church. And I remember it being a very serious situation. I remember having to go through security and having to make a trip back to the car to leave all my weapons there. You know, my ninja stars, my nunchucks, my Chinese handcuffs and everything. Very, very serious situation. I remember feeling the weight of that moment and having to go into the courtroom and sit there for a while. And then the judge told me to leave the courtroom lest I overhear the others that would be making a statement as a character witness in this trial. It was a debate about custody of a child. And I remember the lawyer telling me, there's nothing to fear. They're just going to ask you a few simple questions. And that was good. I was a little bit nervous about the whole situation because I'd watched too many Perry Masons, you know, over the years about where were you on the day of and, you know, give a specific time. And the lawyer assured me that won't happen to you. So I got on the stand. They asked me what I did for a living. They asked me how I knew the individuals involved, yada, yada, yada. Suddenly, the other lawyer came to me, looked me in the eye and said, where were you? Named a date and gave a time. I said, well, was it a Sunday? I usually know where I am on Sundays. I froze. The point the other lawyer was trying to make was this fact that the situation involved in that custody battle, one of the main situations that caused the problem was a phone call that occurred between the two individuals, and I was not a part of that phone call. Now, following that hearing, I noticed something about the two lawyers, which made me get really jealous of lawyers. They were really at each other's throats, so to speak, during the court case. But afterwards, they shook hands and said, I'll see you Friday night. There was a civic organization they were a part of together. I thought, man, that's great. They get to fight Monday through Friday and then hang out together on Friday night. Church conflicts don't usually end that way. But then I remember walking away thinking, okay, that's an occupation for them. And I questioned their dedication, but it was not a question of their dedication at all because that's simply their occupation. And I thought about this. One day, every single one of us in this room will have to stand before another judge, and his name is God. And on that day, there won't be another day of joy and peace and fulfillment unless we know him. And And we don't want someone taking us to him that it's just simply their occupation to represent us. But we want somebody who's got skin in the game, so to speak, that will represent us. And when we get before God as judge, we want to make sure that we're there as ones who are fully devoted to him. The title of today's message is, Who Will Represent You? And that's really the main question for all of us. On Judgment Day, who will represent you? Now, I've had friends that have represented themselves in a court of law, and two of them have actually won the case. They should have become lawyers. Instead, they became ministers, unfortunately. But they won the case. But you do not want to represent yourself on Judgment Day. You want someone else to represent you. Who will represent you on that day? Friends, in this passage this morning, we have a picture of what's needed of someone who represents you before God. We have the dedication, the ordination of Aaron and his sons. Aaron was the high priest, and his sons would have been the priests. And we see in them ultimately a picture of Jesus. But you got to get the fact that in Leviticus chapter 8, something very crucial and significant is happening in the course of redemptive history. At the end of the book of Leviticus, we read about God commanding his people how to establish the tabernacle, how to set up the tent of meeting. He tells them all the utensils involved and how to build them and how to make them. And then he talks about how to dress Aaron and his sons as the priests. But now we have in Leviticus chapter 8 something special in the course of history. In order for Aaron and his sons to be ordained as priests, we actually have Moses himself stepping in, serving as a priest himself. You notice repeatedly throughout this passage, it's either 6 or 8 times that it says that, and Moses did as the Lord commanded him. And so in this passage, we have Moses representing Aaron and his sons. It's a dramatic scene because we read at verse 3, and assemble all the congregation at the entrance of the tent of meeting. Here's what happened as God's people began to see the dedication of Aaron and his sons. All of the assembly of the congregation, all of Israel, gathers together there at the entrance of the tent of meeting as Aaron and his sons begin making their way into the tent of meeting. And they're led by Moses, who serves as their high priest, their representative. Why is that important to me and you today? On Judgment Day, who will represent you? We don't want Aaron. We don't want his sons. We don't even want Moses. We want Jesus. That's the first point I'll make in today's message. The first truth we need to get from this passage is that Jesus represents you. That's who you want to represent you on Judgment Day, is Jesus, our high priest. 8 times in this passage, the Hebrew word for draw near is indicated here. It's the word karav. The whole point of Leviticus is for us to see how we as God's people can come near to a holy God and survive and live. Live to tell about it. Live to tell the story. And so God provides a way for his people to come near to him and to live to tell about it. Through the tent of meeting, through the way of making atonement for their sins through the sacrifices, it's through having someone that can intercede for them, and the high priest, Aaron. But our high priest is Jesus. Because of time restraints this morning, I want us to briefly take a look at some of the ways that this passage highlights Jesus' responsibility as he represents you. In verse 6, it says that Aaron and his sons were washed with water. Water was a purification, a way of purification for God's people. Thus, notice that in order for Aaron and his sons to represent God's people, they needed to be cleansed themselves. But as you know, and I know, our Lord Jesus did not need to be cleansed because he was born of the Virgin Mary. He was born sinless and remained sinless in his thought, words, and deeds and desires for his whole life.
And it says in verse 7 that Aaron was clothed with the ephod, which was a priestly garment that was made out of the same material that all of the tabernacle and the tent of meeting would have made out, that would have been made out of this same material. What is the significance of that? In other words, wherever Aaron went, it would have been a picture, a visible picture and symbol of the fact that he is God's representative, that where he is, God is with God's people. And thus we know it's a picture of Jesus being God in flesh, living and dwelling among us. But on that ephod, we find in Exodus chapter 29, a picture, a description rather, of what went on that ephod. On the ephod, on the shoulders, there would have been 12 stones that would have represented the 12 tribes of Israel. Thus picturing the fact that Aaron would have carried the weight of Israel upon his shoulders. He would have carried the weight of representing them before God. And then it says in verse 8 that Aaron was clothed with a breastpiece that also had an arrangement of 12 stones there as well. Those were also a picture of the 12 tribes of Israel. Think about it this way. The 12 tribes of Israel would have been near and dear to the heart of Aaron as their high priest, as he daily intercedes on their behalf. What a beautiful picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are near and dear to the heart of our Savior as he intercedes for us on our behalf. And then it says here in verse 9, the turban on his head had a golden plate, a holy crown. And we learn in Exodus 39 that actually printed on the crown would have said, "Holy to the Lord." Thus picturing the fact that the Aaron was dedicated to God for God's use, God's purposes, but also that he alone was allowed to go into the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement that we read about in Leviticus chapter 16, that only he was able to go into God's presence. And then we read in verse 12 that he was anointed with oil, thus a picture of the Holy Spirit being poured out on Aaron. Why is this significant for you and me? Because these are all pictures of Jesus. All of these descriptions are pictures of what our Lord Jesus does as he represents us. He carries the weight of our sin upon himself. We are near and dear to his heart. And we know that our Lord Jesus did not offer sacrifices on our behalf, but he offered himself upon our behalf so that we might come near to the Father. Who will represent you on Judgment Day? There's only one you want representing you. It's Jesus. This summer in Tokyo, we'll enjoy the Summer Olympics. For those of you that are setting your date, because you're all excited and giddy now, I'll give you the details. The Summer Olympics will begin on Friday, July 24th, and will last through Sunday, August 9th. There's a little bit of a scare and panic now with the coronavirus, but they're hoping to still be able to enjoy the Olympics in Tokyo this year. Now, do you remember the days when you had to be an amateur athlete to participate in the Olympics? Do you remember those days? I remember those days. There were some ways they were more exciting. But nowadays, when it comes to at least the basketball portion, they allow professional ball players to play in the Summer Olympics. And so they've listed online, if you're interested, 44 NBA finalists that could be selected to the Final 12 that will represent the USA in the Summer Olympics this year. I mean, LeBron James is on there, Steph Curry, he's on there, some others that are just big names in the NBA. If you think about it this way, though, regardless of whether or not you like professionals representing the USA, to be fair to them, they are the best that we have to offer. Don't you agree? They really are the best that we have to offer. Why do I bring that up this morning? When it comes to me and you standing before God on Judgment Day, just like you would in a court of law,
You want the absolute best person that you could choose to represent you. And that person is Jesus Christ. The scriptures say in 2 Corinthians 5 that God made him, talking about Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Who will represent you on judgment day? My friends, I plead with you. Don't live your life or plan your life to represent yourself on that day. But rather, you want Jesus to be the one who represents you. Hebrews says this: we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. The only hope we have in life or in death is that we belong to Jesus. That's what the Heidelberg Catechism says. Question one, answer one. Do you belong to Jesus, friends? Does he represent you this day? That's the first reason why this passage is so important to us this morning, is that we need to know who will represent us on Judgment Day. Jesus represents you. But the second final reason I want us to take a look at this passage this morning is this, is that there's another truth that's equally as true, and we need to chew on this morning, is that if you belong to Jesus, now you represent Jesus. See, Aaron and his sons were chosen by God to represent God's people in the tabernacle, in the tent of meeting, in the temple eventually. God said in Exodus chapter 19 that he would raise them up to be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. But notice that Aaron and his sons themselves need atonement for their sins before they can even go into the tent of meeting and begin interceding for God's people. That's why we see in verse 14 through 17 the fact that Aaron and his sons lay their hands on the head of the bull as their sin offering. And then we read in verses 18 through 21 how they also lay their hands on the head of the ram that will be their burnt offering. In other words, they can't just stroll into God's presence. They can't just stroll into God's holy presence on their own merit, but rather they come to God the Father through the atoning work provided on their behalf. In a similar way, you and I have been called to be priests for God. We are called to be a light for the nations ourselves as the church. But we do not stroll into God's holy presence on our own, but rather we come to him through our great high priest, Jesus Christ, because he has provided atonement for our sins. It's as if we have laid our hands on the head of our Lord Jesus and transferred our guilt onto him. He carries the weight of our sin upon his shoulders, and he's offered himself on our behalf. Do you see your need? That in verse 6, just like Aaron and his sons need to be washed with the water, you and I need to be washed of our sins. And just as Aaron and his sons in verse 30 needed the anointing oil poured out upon them, a picture of the Holy Spirit, we too need the Holy Spirit poured out upon us this morning so that we too can come into our Heavenly Father's presence. As the Lord Jesus ascended into heaven, I assume that there was a conversation that occurred between the Father and the Son, and it went something like this: now that I'm ascending, who will represent you, Father? And the Father told the Son, my children will represent me. That's why Jesus in Acts 1 told the disciples, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So that's the second truth I want us to chew on this morning, is that if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you represent Jesus. You
represent the Father. Do you get that? Last week, I had an opportunity and privilege to go see Miss Lois Sessions. She could still speak at that time. Miss Lois will always be for me a picture of God's grace, a picture of God's patience and encouragement. As I went to go visit her, I thought in my mind, if I get to that season of my life like Lois is, will I truly cling on to Christ? I mean, I've preached God's word for years now. Will I truly cling to Christ? And this is what Lois was clinging to that day. She would point towards heaven, and then she would quote a portion of John chapter 14. In John 14, Jesus says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And you know the way to where I'm going." Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So what a beautiful picture, my friends, in Miss Lois, of a woman who clung to Jesus in her last moments here on earth, knowing that when she stood before God the Father, her Creator, she knew that Jesus Christ would be representing her. And whether or not she was cognizant of it or not, she was representing Jesus to me and to us. Because the peace and the faith she had in her last days was reminiscent of our Savior Jesus Christ as he hung on the cross and said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Who will represent you on that day? As you leave here this morning, who will you represent? Jesus, amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Andrew Bonner says that all we offer to God must be on the foundation of the atonement of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, as a pastor, help me to know it. As elders and deacons, help us to know it, that all we have to offer you, Father, is based on Christ's atoning sacrifice. And as Christians, let us know it, that all that we have to offer you is based on the atoning work of Christ. Father, please forgive me for not being a very good representative of you. My faith is feeble many days, and my life seems to be a 180-degree opposite, hypocritical billboard of my profession of faith in you. So we cling to Christ this day in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's respond.